This is the TTY Dialer, show number 3 for the week of November 7th through November 12th. Hi, this is Mark Livonier, and it's your weekly companion to WRVO's old-time radio show Tuned to Yesterday, where you can tune in to Golden Age of Radio comedy, mystery, drama, and more every night on the air, and whenever you like at WRVO.org. This podcast weaves what's coming up this week in our schedule with stories about the shows and performers of radio's Golden Age, and I post the show at WRVO.org on Saturday nights. The best time to listen is Sunday, so you can make that appointment for any of the shows coming up this week and hear some interesting sounds from radio's yesteryear, like this.
Muffin, I hope you don't mind my watching you so closely sometimes. Honestly, I can't help it. You have the most wonderful face, and you seem to enjoy life so much. I find it very hard to turn my eyes away from you, especially when you're enjoying a pipe full of that rich, mellow Bond Street tobacco. You look so romantic and masculine and attractive. I want to shout to the whole world that you're my guy, that you're the kind of guy Bond Street was made for. Bond Street, my dream, is only the finest, rarest, mellowest, most wonderful pipe tobacco in the world. And as for you, why, Angel, you are just as special and wonderful and fine as Bond Street. That's why I always think of you and Bond Street together.
That's the on-air personality known in the late 1940s as the Lonesome Gal, reading one of her sponsor's commercials. The host, Jean King, would talk to audiences in that seductive patter, pondering life and its loneliness, and playing romantic records, and she was an instant hit when she debuted on the air in Ohio in 1947. In just 2 years, her show was moved to Hollywood to produce programs for stations around the country, where she would localize the show, its topics, and its commercials, sometimes making as many as 300 recordings a week when she was at her peak demand. To the public, she was anonymous, a lonesome gal, and in publicity photos and appearances, she would wear a mask and greet the attendees with her, shall we say, late-night voice.
No matter what anybody says, I love you better than anybody in the whole world. Lonesome, I'm a real lonesome gal. I can't stop feeling lonesome. Heaven knows when I shall.
Coming up this week on Tuned to Yesterday, on Monday night, November 7th at 10 o'clock, an hour of sitcoms from Burns and Allen from 1947. Then the adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. You may not have known that they actually started out on radio. In the 11 o'clock hour, it's drama from the Ford Theater with a play, The Late Christopher Bean, from 1948. Now this Tuesday, no old-time radio will be heard on our main channel as it's election night, and we'll be bringing you live coverage on the station.
Again this fall, we citizens of the United States have the chance to demonstrate to the rest of the world the vigor of our free institutions. But if past history be a guide, an appallingly large percentage of Americans will not vote in the presidential election. In the present critical world situation, and with economic problems at home, men of the highest skill and capacity are needed. The caliber of the officials we elect depends on the thoughtful choice of the people. Participate in this fall's elections. Contribute to your party or candidate. Work for your choices. Make sure you're registered. Then be sure to take your turn at the voting booth in November.
But if you'd like to hear some old-time radio before that, you can always take advantage of a second old-time radio stream we have via our website, WRVO.org. It's called WRVO2, and most of the day we play a service called Public Radio Remix. But from 8 to 10 every night, it's 2 hours of Tuned to Yesterday. Again, you can hear that and learn more at WRVO.org. Mentioning WRVO2 reminds me that I get asked from time to time if there's a schedule for the old-time radio shows on that stream posted anywhere, and the answer is simply no, and there is a sort of good reason for it. Tuned to Yesterday as a show on the air on WRVO, I think, sets itself apart with its schedule because I post it a month in advance, something that many other radio shows don't really do. But it's done that way, not only for my planning purposes, but really for your planning purposes. Another reason why this podcast even exists, to kind of enhance that radio appointment and planning to see what's coming up. And the way I put it together is like this. I pick one of 10 or 12 genres to air for 3 months at a time. So right now, let's say on Monday nights, it's sitcoms at 10 o'clock and then drama at 11. That will go on for 3 months, and then I'll switch it up to try to please everyone who's listening across the region. And with about 1,700 recorded hours of Tune 2 yesterday, I try to schedule the repeats of the ones that have been recorded already in a mix-and-match way so you don't hear a repeat too often of the show. It should be stretched out to about a year or two at this point with that many programs. And then it takes about 2 hours to type out that schedule and to do the same for WRVO2 would just simply take too long. So that's pretty much how I put it together, using that mix of pre-recorded shows already in the bank and also new episodes, which I'll get into that in another podcast of that puzzle that happens when I do schedule something new. At any rate, you can read the on-air schedule at WRVO.org anytime, or just stay tuned to this podcast to plan your week of listening. This Wednesday night, we have Westerns with the Cisco Kid and Frontier Town, then an hour of horror from episodes of Suspense and The Weird Circle. Then on Thursday night at 10 o'clock, it's comedy from Jack Benny. And I know you've heard of Candid Camera. Well, we have an episode of Candid Microphone, the precursor to that TV version. And in the 11 o'clock hour this November 10th on Thursday, it's an hour of mystery from Ellery Queen, then Sherlock Holmes.
I shall never forget that April morning when I ushered in Miss Helen Stoner into our sitting room. She was a most attractive young lady, dressed in black, was heavily veiled, and appeared much distressed.
It's not the cold which makes me shiver, Mr. Holmes. It's fear. Terror. I can stand this strain no longer. I shall go mad if it continues. I've no one to turn to. Even my fiancé believes it's only my imagination.
You mustn't fear. We'll soon set matters to rights, I've no doubt.
You can hear these shows on the air on Wednesday, November 9th and Thursday, November 10th from 10 to midnight. This week on November 7th, Monday, is the birthday of an interviewer and pioneering radio producer whose name is now far back in the past. Jerry Belcher was born on that day in 1895 and was co-creator and interviewer on one of radio's early innovative programs called Vox Pop. From the Latin for voice of the people, Vox Pop did just that. It captured and delivered the voices of strangers on the street regarding various topics, which brought forth some very interesting content on the air during the 1930s and 40s. Jerry Belcher was working as a station manager at NBC affiliate KTRH in Houston in 1932, and a man by the name of Parks Johnson, who worked in the station's advertising department, came up with the idea to quiz people walking the streets of Houston and broadcast it on the air, the first topic being the presidential race at that time between Hoover and Roosevelt. They received some great spontaneous answers, and it would inspire what would become a regular feature nationwide on NBC from 1935 through 1939. After 4 years or so on the air, Jerry Belcher had a falling out with Parks Johnson, and Johnson replaced him with announcer Wally Butterworth on the show and took complete ownership of it, and would bring it to CBS Radio in the mid-1940s, even to ABC in the later 1940s. There's a lot of stories surrounding this show, like their move from the man on the street to the pre-prepared hotel lobby at the start of the CBS run, where the lines stretched out into the street with people eager to answer Johnson's questions. Internally, there was a concern that the spontaneity would be lost with the pre-prep, but the show continued to deliver the original sound of real people. As it evolved, it became not so much of an opinion-based program, but likened to more of a quiz show. People would get a dollar for an answer, let's say. And that really set an exciting tone for the guests, some of whom were poached by co-creator Johnson's wife Louise, who received a healthy stipend week after week to get the guests and also to shop for gifts for them. Vox Pop even played a role in raising morale on the home front during World War II. At one point, they had broadcast a series of shows interviewing servicemen and women at military installations throughout the Northeast. And by the end of the war, the show had traveled to several hundred war plants, hospitals, and bases of all branches of the armed services. All in all, Vox Pop was really the people's show and a staple for many listeners. And it makes sense. Who doesn't want to hear their neighbor's opinion about something or play along with trivia questions? Let's hear an excerpt of the show now from their 1939 World's Fair broadcast.
Vox Pop is conducted by Parks Johnson.
Hello, everybody. How are you all?
And yours truly, Wally Butterworth. On Vox Pop, the spotlight is directed on John Q. Public. Parks and I select people at random from the crowd, put them before the microphone, and ask them questions. Nobody is rehearsed. Anything can happen, and it usually does. And now here's Parks, all set for the first interview. Come on, Parks.
Yes, sir, Wally. And the first gentleman right behind you with that light hat on. Tell me your name, please.
Arthur O. Weber.
Where from, Mr. Weber?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Married?
Very much. 38 years.
Folks with you?
No, I'm all alone.
Mr. Weber, who lives next door to you out there?
Talking
to the microphone. We want them to hear it.
Next door to me?
Yeah, next door to you.
Oh, some very good neighbors.
Call the names. I want them to hear you.
Well, there's Mrs. Moulton and Mr. Angelino.
Listen, talk in that microphone. I want them to hear and back up just a little bit. Well, that's all right. That's all I want to know. Now, are you more agreeable before or after you eat?
Well, after.
Have you eaten?
Not yet.
Not yet? Boy, I'm going to have to be live with you. Tell me confidentially, Mr. Weber. I don't want this gentleman behind me to hear me. But do you think a double chin adds dignity to a fellow's appearance? Don't look at Wally.
No,
he's got three chins.
No.
Here's the Vox Pop geographical question of the week. The one on which we give away dollar bills for the fellow that's got the answers to our geographical questions. You ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's warm up with an easy one. Three of our state capitals begin with the letter M. Now, if you give me two out of those three, you get a dollar bill. And here they are.
Letter M.
Yes, sir. Three of the state capitals begin with the letter M.
Well, there's...
All right.
Memphis?
Do you call that a
state
capital?
No.
Last week, let me get your hat out of the way. Let me talk in this mic a little. Last week, a fella couldn't think of but one that began with B. Don't tell me you can't think of any begins with M. Isn't that funny? Three of them. Another one?
Another one.
Well, let's pass it up a little bit. Three of our states entered the Union during the 1900s, after 1900. Name any one of those for a dollar.
Arizona.
All right, name another one. That's a dollar. Here's one dollar.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
I'll need that.
All right, name another one for a dollar.
And, that's all I can think of.
Another one you can think of?
That's all I want.
Well,
that satisfies me good meal.
All right, now wait a minute. Here's some more. Locate three of these for a dollar. And if you locate more than three, it's a dollar a crack for every one you get over it. Where's Cape Horn?
Cape Horn, South America.
That's a dollar? Now, I got to get three before you get a dollar, though. That's right. Cape Hatteras?
Cape Hatteras?
Uh-huh.
Give that up.
Cape Sable?
Give that up.
Cape Hope? Good Hope, you know.
Down South America. No, Africa.
South Africa. All right, that's two. Cape Race?
That's up in Newfoundland.
That's right. That's the three. You qualify. And Cape May?
That's
New Jersey.
Well, yes.
Cape Hatteras is off North Carolina. Yeah. And here's your dollar. Now, one last thing.
My goodness, I'm coming back with more money than I started with.
Good. Now, the question that we're going to ask every person tonight for a little matter of guessing, and the one that guesses closest to it gets five $1 bills at the end of the program, is this. How many times per day, that's 24 hours, do you estimate that your watch ticks? The average watch, how many times a day would you say it ticks? It's plenty, so give us a figure.
Well, I know it ticks a whole lot.
All right, give me some figure so we can put it down.
I couldn't do that.
Well, name some figure, anything.
Oh, about 5,000?
5,000, he said.
Do you care to guess? How many times a watch ticks in a day? All right, before you can get to Google, it's 86,400. It's Friday on Tuned to Yesterday at 10 o'clock. It's Crime for an Hour with episodes of The Whisperer and The Secrets of Scotland Yard. Then it's True History at 11 o'clock with the Hallmark Hall of Fame and the Cavalcade of America.
You have a piece of chocolate?
No, thank you, miss.
Meaning you won't sit down or you won't have any chocolate?
Meaning a sergeant is not supposed to sit in the presence of a superior officer, miss.
Oh, rot, superior officer. What's the matter with you, anyhow? What makes you such a sorehead?
Well, you won't have to put up with me much longer. I'm getting a transfer.
I'm sorry, Lou.
Yes, I bet.
Well, you're wrong. I'm really sorry. You're the best staff sergeant I ever had.
Well, I'm not sorry. I enlisted in this lousy service for just two reasons. Oh, I guess for just one reason.
You mean your kid brother, Jimmy?
How did you know?
Well, some of the boys told me.
Oh, some of the boys talk too much.
And when you enlisted, you never thought you'd be taking orders from a woman or be a sky nursemaid, did you?
And that play is called Sky Nursemaid, the story of the newly formed at the time Air Evacuation Transport Service and the flying nurses who helped out many soldiers during the Second World War. A great story to close out Veterans Day. On Saturday night, November 12th, it's Horror from the Weird Circle with an adaptation of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, a good version, then Lights Out from 1942. And we'll end Saturday on a lighter note at 11 with sitcoms. We hear The Mel Blanc Show and Duffy's Tavern.
Don't forget, this is a very high-class party, and I want you to act very refined. None of them usual show-off tricks of yours, you know, like putting your false teeth in the mashed potatoes.
Well, gee, Arch, I gotta have a little fun.
Those shows coming up Friday, November 11th, and Saturday, November 12th, from 10 to midnight on Tune to Yesterday. So that's it for this TTY Dialer for the week of November 7th through November 12th. I'll be back with another podcast next week on Saturday night. In the meantime, you can download previous shows at WRVO.org, listen to the station live, and Tune to Yesterday live from 10 to midnight on WRVO. Or, as I mentioned earlier, you can get that 2 hours of extra old-time radio from 8 to 10 on WRVO2, which is available on our website, which I'm sure you're familiar with because this is probably the best way to get the podcast in the first place. Remember, if you have any questions about anything old-time radio or Tune to Yesterday or the TTY Dialer, just email me, Mark, M-A-R-K, at WRVO.org. Thanks a lot for listening.